right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It was nice coming to church this morning with the sun in the sky, wasn't it? It's just a beautiful day. Feels great. And glad to be here. So I appreciate Eric's plug for last week's sermon. That's always good to know there's at least one person that's appreciating the sermon there. But so we did talk about ambition, and in particular, spiritual ambition. We talked a little bit about the idea of ambition, how sometimes that's could be looked at as negative, you know, like self-promoting or something. But it's good, and we need to have some type of spiritual ambitions that God puts in our hearts, a desire to do things for the Lord. And so last week, we spent quite a bit of time looking at Paul's spiritual ambitions and how he had this particular ambition to preach the gospel to people in the places where they've never heard about Jesus. He wanted to be the one that laid the foundation, that did the pioneering work of sharing Christ with people. And that was his ambition. Today we're going to talk about another important word, very important word, somewhat simpler word that you all have experience with too. It's called plans. Plans. And I think plans go with ambition. So if you have an ambition to do something, you have to start making some plans to work towards that ambition. It might be a little bit like thinking of like goals and objectives, you know, and working in that way. But if you have goals, if you have ambitions, you take steps to get to them. Because if you've got a big ambition, you just can't get to it like all in one hop, right? You have to work towards it. And so Paul was constantly making plans about what he was going to do and what he hoped to do. And we're looking at a lot of his plans today. So we're going to look at Paul's plans, and I think we're going to think about our plans a little bit too, all right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time to be in this local church together, gathered together as people that love you and want to follow you. So I lift up each one here today, those who are in the service here and those who are serving next door, that today would be a day of growth through your Spirit, that you would help us to hear from you loud and clear, that we would grow in our relationship with you, that we would depend on you more, that we would trust you more, we would commit our plans to you. Lord, thank you so much. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Romans chapter 15, verse 22. And like Eric said, if you're attending Sunday school, which I would invite you all to come to Sunday school, I'm going to ask probably a handful of questions from this sermon in the Sunday school class, and I'm going to ask a handful of questions from Eric's Sunday school lesson in there. So it's just kind of a fun thing we're doing, and it's guys against girls, in case you didn't figure that out. And up until today, the ladies were dominating. Dominating. Did I say that loud enough? Dominating. Until today, and the guys really did some work to catch up. So Romans 15, beginning in 22. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this, and I have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And let's pray once more. Lord, thank you again for your word. And as we read these words, it is my prayer that we understand them, and through your Spirit, we can apply them to our lives also. But that just that we would know you and we would understand things better because we've spent time with you in your word, Lord. Thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So again, you know, Paul's plan and his ambition was to go places where he could preach the gospel to people that have never heard of Jesus. And I talked a little bit about last week how maybe it's more difficult to do this in our modern era. People have heard about Jesus, but I think in our time, it's people have heard about Jesus, but they haven't really heard the truth about Jesus, and they really don't know Jesus. And to go to places where people really have grown up without Jesus in their lives, we can do that here today. Now, at this time, this was when the gospel was spreading from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, out to the ends of the earth. We have that. And so there's this a lot of work for the early church to do, and Paul in particular was a big driving force behind this, you know, dwelt by the Holy Spirit to do this, to go out and to do this work, but to take the gospel, the good news about Jesus, to places where it had never been. Paul saw his work and he compared it, and Janelle read this verse, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. It says, according to the grace of God given to me, I, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one could lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he saw himself as a foundation layer, so he would lay the foundation. He would go and do that. He'd find places that had never heard about Jesus, and he would preach about Jesus, and he would preach the gospel, and he would contend with opposition there and different things, and he would find other believers, people that came to faith, and he would put together churches, and he would bring together qualified leaders for those churches, and he would work with them and visit with them and write with them and minister to them. He would lay the foundation, and then he'd hand it over to other people, and then he would go somewhere else, and he would do the same thing. But he saw himself as a foundation layer, and other people would come and build on it. But that foundation had to be consistent. It had to be Jesus Christ. And so as you think about it, I think that's a good question for us is, you know, what is the foundation of your life? Is Christ the foundation of your life? Or are you trying to build on any other foundation? And then as we learn that there are things that we can build on that foundation that are really the right things to build on that foundation, or we can try to build on the things that are the things of the world. And what we build is going to be tested by God, ultimately. But we're talking here about the foundational level. It has to be Christ. And that's what Paul did, and that's what his ambition was. So in this verse, it says, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. Paul wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to see the people in Rome. He had met the people in Rome. He had met some people from Rome. Christianity had spread to Rome. It wasn't a place that Paul went and started a church, but it was a group of Christians there that he was trying to help. And so he's writing to them in this case, but he has expressed, and it's talked about numerous places through Scripture, that he has this desire to go to Rome. But the work that was preventing him from going to Rome was that there were so many opportunities where he was still to preach the gospel to people that hadn't heard of Jesus. And so he was still doing that work early on. And that's what prevented him from going. Now, as I think about it, kind of tying this back to application in some sense, we all have ambitions. We might have longer range ambitions. We have these goals and things that we think that we should be doing. And I'm in particular talking about in our service to the Lord. Well, we have to make plans to get to those, but we also have to have priorities and we have to prioritize things. So as I see it, Paul had this plan to go to new places to preach the gospel, but he didn't ignore what was right in front of him. And he didn't ignore what God brought into his life that was happening then. So he could see that although he had this plan and this desire to go take the gospel out further, he knew that he still had work to do where he was. But at this time, he's starting to see, okay, you'll see, he's starting to see that the work is coming to a completion, and he starts to see that something different is going to happen in the future. But this was what was preventing him from going to Rome. Now, it's mentioned numerous places that Paul wanted to go to Rome. Actually, if you look in the beginning of Romans in chapter 1, verses 8 through 15, this is actually how Paul started the letter. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now, at last, by God's will, that the way may be opened for me to come to you. So he's praying for them regularly, and now he's praying that the door would be opened for him to actually go and see them. And then continuing in verse 111, it says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, as I have had among the Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. So along his journeys, he developed this strong desire to go to Rome, and he's praying about it, and he's wanting to go, but the timing hasn't been right for him to do that yet. We get a little glimpse of that in the book of Acts, in Acts 19:21. It says, after all this had happened, and this is along his way, and I think this was after the big riot in Ephesus. After all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I have been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. So here's a map here coming up next. There we go. Okay, now I'm going to see if I have my special tool here, because I'm going to need this today, and I don't think it has to be plugged in yet, because I just need the laser. Okay, now I've been having a great time looking at maps this last week. I'm not kidding. A really good time. I think I've come to the conclusion that if you read the Bible, it is going to be so much more alive for you if you look at a map at the same time. And I think especially the book of Acts. Now, I want to thank Eric because he puts some maps together. But I think just the fact that he had an atlas beside his Bible kind of got me thinking. And I was wondering I have a lot of software. You know, I was like, wonder what the map software is like in the logo software that I have. And it's actually really nice and really good. And these are just some of the maps, but they have a lot of I would say call them almost an interactive thing that I can't quite bring in here. These are just like pictures from a book here, basically. But and this might be hard for you to see, I don't know, but I'm going to have several maps, but there's so much to look at and think about in these maps. And I think it puts in the context what we're talking about here. So I'm going to just share a little bit about Paul's missionary journeys. There are three missionary journeys that are detailed in the Bible. So three different trips that he goes through. And if you go through the book of Acts, and it's a little bit of a fun Bible study to do, to try to like mark the points and list the scripture that where each one of these starts and ends in your Bible, in the book of Acts, okay? So, but these maps give you a visual picture as you look at it. So here, what we're seeing in this map is this is the Mediterranean Sea, right here we have, and over here you have the Dead Sea down here, and the Sea of Galilee is up here. The Jordan River flows down through there. That's not really like a big part of this, but it kind of fits in our men's Bible study. We've been studying the book of Joshua, so before that we were looking at Moses a lot and the people, and so Egypt's down here, okay? The people came. They could have probably come right up here into the promised land, but because of all that they did and their disobedience, they had come down to the south part here of the promised land, and they sent the spies in, and the spies went all the way from the south part all the way up through the north part here, and they came back with the bad report. 10 of them did. You know, remember this? This is what we're looking at in our men's Bible study. We're having a great time looking at this. But because of that, they ended up wandering around out here in the desert out here for 40 years. And then they had to come into the promised land. And when they come into the promised land, they crossed over the Jordan up here. And when they did that, that's where they went to Jericho and they marched around Jericho and all that happened. So that was much earlier, Old Testament stuff, but it's really fun to look at these maps and kind of think about where the people went and follow their journey. This one is about Paul in his journeys and where they began. And here you have on this one, I wish they did this separately, but they put both the first and second missionary journey on the same map. So if you look at the key here down below, you've got them in color. So there's a blue and an orange. That's his first missionary journey. So the blue would be the way out and the orange would be the return here. And so you can see this is where Antioch is. And that's where Christians were first called Christians. And it's in Syria, and it's well north of Jerusalem. It's north of the nation of Israel. It's up here. Okay, but this is where the first missionary journey started from. And as you see that, this blue line, is it starts by sea, and it goes to Cyprus, and then up here in Pamphylia. Now, this actual journey, it's a smaller journey as you look at it, but it's concentrated on this area around here. So this is kind of how it first expanded, when Paul first went out. So he goes out to here, and then he ends up coming back back through the way he came and comes back this way. So he goes on a smaller journey. And who was with him? Paul and who?
Barnabas.
Okay, so that was the first missionary journey. And the second missionary journey here, you can see down here in purple, it starts here. Let's find it here. As we look at it here, we see they go by land in this case. Now, what happened before Paul's second missionary journey? It was a big thing that happened. Anybody remember? What's that? Jerusalem Council, that was a big part of it. So that is probably the main thing. They were taking this news back to, you know, to tell them that, you know, you basically didn't have to become Jewish to be a Christian. But also you had the splitting of Paul and Barnabas before that. And so Paul went with Silas, but Barnabas went kind of the way that they originally came, but Paul went by land. And so you see they have them starting the journey going up this way, going up into some of the same places. And all these things are detailed in Acts, but they can't come up across the land here this time, and they end up coming here. And remember, there was a part when Paul wanted to go into Asia and preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit prevented him from preaching the gospel in Asia. That's right here. Now, I don't know if you know this, but this Asia that's being talked about there is not the continent of Asia, but it's the Roman province, Asia, that's there. So that's different than the Asia that we have today. And so you can see that in the map. You can look at it. There was a time when Paul wanted to go into Bithynia here, but the Holy Spirit prevented him from going into Bithynia. And eventually he's up here, and he gets this vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over to us. We need your help. And that's when he goes over into Macedonia. And so these are things that are mentioned in the scripture that we mentioned. Macedonia and Achaia, these are, again, Roman provinces. And what that would be equivalent to today is Greece. Greece, that's roughly where Greece is, especially like from the bottom up into Macedonia is where Greece is today. And so you're seeing these different churches in these different places. Like as you look at it, you'll recognize the name of the churches. Like for instance, Philippi here, Thessalonica here, Berea there. All right, and then you have Corinth down here, and Athens would be down there also. Okay, so this is Paul's journey, and this is the second journey that he was on, and there were two times that he went to Corinth, and he went to a lot of these places multiple times. But this is going all these places. This is a lot of traveling, and a lot of it, you know, is over, you know, great distances. Some of it is overseas, you know, different things. But there's a lot there as you look at it. Now, actually, I can't advance it, but would you advance it? I'm just sitting here trying to advance it. This one is the one, we'll look at this a couple times. This is the third missionary journey from Paul. Now, you can see in this case, we have Paul's route, and it's like one big route. Again, it starts in Antioch, comes up through here. The part I'd like to really focus on, a couple things. He was in Ephesus, and again, this is where they had that big riot when he was in Ephesus there. And I think that might have been where around 1921, where he resolved to go to Rome. But he continues up through these lands and he comes down here. He's in Corinth. And this is generally where people think he wrote the book of Romans. when he was in Corinth, down here at this particular point in time. And I don't know if that's that he wrote every part of it there, but part of this is when he wrote the book of Romans, and we'll see this, I think, possibly next week, he's sending Phoebe with the book of Romans to go to Rome from where he is in Achaia, again, which is Greece, to go left of here, to go to Rome there. And but he's here, he's writing. Okay, now, he said he wants to go to Rome. That's his goal. That's his plan. Even bigger than that is to go to Spain. So he's going to go to Spain. He's going to stop in Rome on the way. But he's going to do something else first. He's going to take an offering that he's collecting for those who are in Jerusalem, who are poor. There's been a famine there. He's going to take an offering back to them. And you can see that here, basically. As you look at it, so he is here in Corinth. He's writing Romans. He's going to go back over to Jerusalem down here. Okay, and so what he goes this roundabout way, but he goes this roundabout way coming up through here, eventually coming down here and sailing to Jerusalem to get that offering and to collect it from the churches that had promised to give him money to take to the Christians in Jerusalem. Okay, so an interesting thing, a couple other interesting things about this, and this, some of this is beyond, you know, what we're looking at today, but it's just fascinating if you sit here and you think about it, really. He came down here and he met with the Ephesian elders here, the elders from Ephesus. And they came down here to meet him down here. And this is where they were saying, don't go, don't go. What's going to happen to you there? You know, we know you're going to be mistreated there. And they were crying and they were weeping. And what did Paul say? He said, don't cry for me. Don't, you know, put your tears away. I'm going anyways. I know what might happen, but I'm going anyways. And he felt the Lord had encouraged him to go. And I think it was definitely the Lord's will for him to go. And so he eventually returns largely from here by sea back to Israel and then down to Jerusalem there. All right. So we'll come back to that in just a little bit here. I think we'll look at that map one more time as we talk about it. All right, so let's go back to Romans then, 23 and 24. But he says, now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on your journey there and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So Paul's plan was ultimately to go to Spain, to go by Rome, but first to go by Jerusalem there, as you look at it. And that was his plan. And the trip to Jerusalem was kind of more the immediate goal that he had, the immediate ambition, and the go to Spain was the secondary. Now, the thing is, it would have been a lot more expedient for him to just go right from where he was in Greece to go to Rome and then to Spain. That would have been a lot closer. It would have been much closer. This journey back to Jerusalem, when you look at all the ways that he went and how he was going to get there, it's like a 1,000-mile journey. It's far. It's a long way, you know. So he wasn't getting the direct flight. You know, he was getting the roundabout. He was going back the roundabout way, but he was doing this because he wanted to bring aid to the saints. He wanted to bring aid to the saints. And so just kind of looking at that map again, you know, as we go there, you know, that's a lot of traveling that he did to do this. This was a big, strong plan and ambition of his to do that. And it was one that as he was doing it, people were saying, don't go, don't do it because it's going to be too dangerous. But he did it and he did it anyways, all right? So he says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. And so again, Macedonia and Achaia, Roman provinces. Macedonia, that was the northern part. Think Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Achaia, the southern part, Athens, Corinth. And the aid to the saints was something I think Paul had an ambition because people needed it there, right? There was a famine. The Christians there were in bad shape. There were a lot of poor Christians there. And in this other part of the world, they weren't feeling it so much. But it was really to show love from those Christians, those Gentile Christians, back to where the faith had come from in Jerusalem and to bring it back to them and to share that goodness with them. And I think this was another one of Paul's big ambitions to do that. And I think what the real ambition was to unite people. He had these people from very different cultures, but they had this one thing in common, which was Christ. And he wanted to unite those people of different cultures in that. Now, wasn't this what Jesus died to achieve? Ephesians 2:15 says, "By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace." Christ came to tear down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile and to bring them together as one man in Christ, one people of God. And basically, this is what Paul had as a big ambition of his heart. He was minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. But in his heart, a part of that was bringing the Gentiles and the Jewish Christians together in Christ as one people. That's what he wanted to do. And so that's what Christ also died to do. Now, I think, you know, just in a practical sense, when something is happening really far away and it's not really happening at home, like right where you are, it's very easy to be apathetic about it, to not care about it. It's easy to be indifferent about what's going on here. And what Paul was doing is he was calling Christians in the places he was to care about what was happening to Christians in other places. And so there's an immediate application for us here. Do we, as Christians here in the United States of America, in Washington, you know, Pierce County, wherever we are, do we care about what happens to other Christians in other places throughout the world? We should. We really should. And we really need to be praying for other people. We need to care about what's going on in other countries and other places and be supportive of them. Paul sets the example for that, and so we should care about that too. In verse 27, he says, "For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings." And so he says, these churches over here, they are glad to be able to give this gift back to the Christians in Jerusalem, and they feel like they owe it to them. Was it like Paul saying, "Hey, you owe this to them, you better do this"? I think what they're saying is we're thankful, and we know and we recognize that the church started there and that Christ, the Messiah, he came through the nation of Israel, and we know that our faith comes from them and comes from these people, and that's where it comes from. And we're not separate from them, and we're not better than them, and we're not independent of them. We're one together, so we want to thank them, you know, for passing this on to us. And so that's why the church was glad to do it. And they had benefited so much spiritually that they said, "We've benefited spiritually. It's not out of line for us to give back to them and to give back to them something material to help them because they need help right now." And so that's what the church saw it as. And so they were glad to be able to do that and to know that God's plan for them came through Israel. Now, it says, "When, therefore, I have completed this, and I have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you." So after the collection, he plans to go to Spain. And here's the thing about that. We don't know for certain if Paul made it to Spain. We don't know by the scripture. The scripture doesn't tell us. There's no Bible verse that says that he made it to Spain. There's a lot of people have reasons to believe that he made it to Spain, that he did make it to Spain, okay? But we don't have that in the scripture, okay? And so he may have made it to Spain, or he may have not made it to Spain, but I will tell you that Paul made plans and things didn't go according to his plans. He didn't go to Rome the way he planned on going to Rome. All right? Things did change here, okay? Now, here's the next map that I have here for you here. This is Google Earth, okay? And this is a modern day look. But I wanted to just kind of put in perspective like what we're talking about here. Because if you see this part of Africa here, as you look at it, it kind of gives you a better idea of what we're looking at. So here's Africa, all right? Here's the Red Sea. Okay, here's Jerusalem here. Here's all this area that Paul worked. Now you see here, this makes perfect sense. So here is where he was in Corinth down here somewhere. This is, you know, modern day Greece, and then over here you have Rome, and then over here you have Spain. So you see, like, what he was doing was he was just going out a little further and going out a little further and going out a little further. And I'm certain that if Paul got to Spain, that he was looking at something beyond that, because he was always wanting to go somewhere new and preach the gospel somewhere new. That's who he was. He had the real heart of a missionary, right? That's the heart of a missionary. Now, the world doesn't understand that. Let's say there's an island of a tribe that lives on an island that has never heard about Jesus is there. As Christians, we want to go and tell those people about Jesus because they've never heard about Jesus. And people have given their lives for that. And the world looks at that and they think it's a bad thing, right? They're like, okay, you want to just take and impose your beliefs on this tribe, that's fine without you. But no, it's like people need to hear the name of Jesus to be saved. They need that. And so as Christians, that's fundamental to what we believe and who we are. And so Paul had that heart of a missionary to go. And when he went, you know, he went and he did his best to become all things to all people and to relate to the people and to understand their culture and communicate to them through their culture and what they did. But this is the area where he was working and where he was longing to work. So you can kind of see here, think about that again, how he, you know, he's over here, he's going to go way back over here, and then he wants to come back here, and then he wants to go over here. That was, those were his plans. His plans. Okay? Now it continues, it says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. He's confident that he's going to get to Rome. He is confident of that, and he knows that when he comes, I love this verse, thinking about the whole picture of what happens here. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. When he comes to them, Rome, he's confident he's going to come, and it's going to be a blessing from Christ. Complete and total blessing from Christ when he gets there and how he gets there. Okay, so he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. So he's not above asking for prayer. None of us should be above asking for prayer. We all need prayer. We need other people praying. Like myself, if you will pray for me, you know, as I'm preparing my sermons and as I preach, I would love you to be praying for me. And if any of us are facing opposition, whether it be in our workplace or any other place, we need to pray for each other. And so Paul mentions that. And he says that he wants people to strive for him in prayer. And he says that he may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. He knows that he's going to face opposition as he gets back to Judea and Jerusalem. He'll face opposition there from people that don't believe, from non-believers. So he asks for prayer about that. And then he wants this offering that he's taking to be received the way that he intended it to be. And that's what he's praying for, and he's asking people to pray for them. And I think people along the way, like I said, have been telling him, you know, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult there. And he'll get more of that as he travels back. And he says, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And so he just looks forward to actually doing all this work, going to Jerusalem, coming back to Rome, and coming with joy and being able to refresh each other. Amen? Amen. Side trip here, you know. I was just thinking about how refreshing it is to come to church each week. Amen. And how more and more I'm seeing this, and I was thinking, does this have to do with the way the world is changing around us? That the opportunity to get with people who are like-minded about Jesus and love the Lord and be together and to not be in the things of the world, but to come and be together side by side. It seems like the more the world changes, the more obvious the difference is here in other places. And then I thought, well, you know what? It's probably been like this all along, but I just didn't realize how great it was to be with God's people and to come together, and how what a refreshing thing it is to see each other and to encourage one another. Now, some of you might not be there yet. You might be like, well, I don't get what he's talking about there. I don't get, you know, what's so great and different. In fact, I want to go home, you know. That may be you. I like being honest in church, and I'll just say that, you know, I felt that way at times in my life because I didn't really get it. I wasn't really understanding it. I think the more you walk with Christ, the more you realize what joy it is to be with God's people and how you do refresh one another. And this is what Paul was writing about, and he was looking forward to this. That's why he wanted to be face to face with them. And he wanted to come with joy, and he knew that there was going to be refreshment. Now, Paul had this picture of how that was all going to happen. It didn't happen the way that he planned. But he did get an all-expense-paid trip to Rome. It was covered. Now, he didn't get to kind of go exactly where he wanted to go, when he wanted to go, you know. But here's the next map to look at. This is Paul's trip to Rome. Okay, now remember, this time what happened was he went down to Jerusalem, and there was opposition, and there was so much opposition that eventually they accused him, and they locked him up, and he became a prisoner. And at some point in the process of all this stuff that was going on and the people trying to kill him and get ready to kill him, that he appealed to Caesar because he's a Roman citizen. And he was sent back. He was sent to Rome with soldiers. And there's a lot of stuff that happens in between there, you know, shipwrecks and all these different things that happen, you know, getting bitten by a snake and these things that happen as you look at it. So this is the journey back. And so when I think about this whole thing, I see Paul as a person that had these great spiritual ambitions. And with that, he made plans. But God didn't always do things according to Paul's plans. And what it tells me is we make plans too. We shouldn't not make plans. We should make plans. And hopefully they're consistent with spiritual ambitions. But God, He has different plans sometimes. And his plans are not always our plans. Now, what we can see from Paul here is that God achieved the same things that Paul wanted to achieve, but he did it a different way. And I think Paul accepted that and understood that. So when Paul went to Rome, he actually was able to be refreshed by the church at Rome. He was able to go with joy and to be with them. And he ultimately was able to spend a lot of time with that church, you know, as you look at it. A couple things. As he was going through this opposition, in Acts 23:11, this is after Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, it says, "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. God coming and like him being arrested and all his plans not happening. You know, he could easily have thought about it at that point. Could have been a very low point. I think he's human. I think it really was. The Lord stood by him and said, "You've testified about me. You've testified about me in Jerusalem, and so you also must testify about me in Rome." And then at the very end of Acts, and this is why I said we don't know exactly what happened. We don't know that he made it to Spain, but we know that he made it to Rome and he worked through all these things that were brought against him. And but in Acts 28:30-31, this is how Acts ends. It says, "He lived there." This is after being imprisoned and different things, house arrest. "He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." So he made it. He made it there, but it wasn't according to his plans. It was according to God's plans. And so just remember that God doesn't always do things according to your plan. He doesn't. And just remember this, God has better ways to accomplish your ambitions. Amen? And this is what I was talking about in youth group. We were talking about this in youth group, and Micah Veneer, I think in one of his answers to one of the questions I asked, said God always has a better way. And he does. Do you remember, Micah, do you even remember asking, you remember, he's like, did I say that? Yeah, you said that. God has a better way. God has better ways to do things than we do, and he comes up with things that we can't even imagine. And he did that. And he did that with Paul and Paul's life. And then I think just the last thing that I want to share is that in my life, I've been a person who is a goal setter and has ambition about things. I wouldn't say my ambition has always been a godly ambition. I said there's been plenty of, you know, self-serving ambition in there and all kinds of plans made and different things. Sometimes there's something that kind of seems like it's in between, you know, like you want to do things the right way, you know, maybe you want to be debt free, maybe you want to be a good steward of your resources and what you do, and you make plans. Maybe you have some other plans in your life. Like I have some plans in my life still, you know, that I'm still planning some things. I think we make those plans, but we got to turn them over to the Lord, right? I'll kind of give you some examples of things that I'm talking about here, and I'm just thinking about the context of being the pastor in a church here like this. My example would be, my plan is to bless my wife with, like, doing some travel. She works so hard here, we work hard, we do things, you know, and, like, as part of that, I would like to, like, go out and travel and see some places and do that, and that's a plan. And I know that that may happen or that may not happen, right? Because you don't really know about health and those kind of things. And I look at people and I look at how life happens and things that happen. You know, some people have plans like, okay, I'm going to retire. I'm going to do this. I'm going to retire. Then once I retire, I'm going to be able to go and do all those things. And that's your plan, but God has a different plan for you. That was just your plan. That wasn't God's plan. And so I think about it. I think about, you know, life that way, how we, you know, we're constantly making plans. I'm sure that you have a lot of plans that you've made, things that you're hoping for. Well, like, I actually this year was very ready to go to Hawaii for the spring. I was planning it. I was looking at it. And then for spring break, for 1 week. And I was working on it, and I was planning it, and then Hannah changed my plans. And she wanted to do this other thing. She wanted to get a puppy. And I was like, how are we going to get a puppy and go to Hawaii at the same time? We can't do both. You know, it's got to be like one or the other. You sure you want a puppy? Okay, we're getting a puppy. So next week we're getting a puppy. And this spring we're not going to Hawaii, you know. But that was my plan, and it was changed. You know? So unless anybody wants to puppy sit, you know. But, you know, hey, but we got another 90-pound dog we need to take care of too, you know. So, but, you know, I just, when I see and I work with people and I know what people go through and I know how life changes and I know how plans change, I'm just saying all of us are making plans. We need to make plans. We need to live life. We need to do those things. But we need to trust those plans with the Lord and know that He will change our plans in different ways. But to know that ultimately we can trust Him. He's good. His plans are better than our plans. Amen? Amen? And so a verse that's always helped me, one of my favorite verses, and I'm going to share it to you, and I think it's in the bulletin from this, is Proverbs 19:21. This is from the 1984 NIV. That's the best NIV, by the way. That's the best NIV translation. And I put it in the NIV. I don't usually use the NIV, but I put it because at the time of life when I really learned this verse and I really needed this verse, I was carrying an NIV Bible, and this is what I remembered it in. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And that's a key verse for my life. You know, letting go of my plans and giving them to God. Because He has a purpose in His plans that goes beyond what I can understand or imagine. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this time to look at Romans, to look at Paul and his plans, Lord, and to think about what happened, Lord. And we just offer our plans to You. We accept when You change them and You have different plans for us, and help us to find the goodness in it, to see what You're doing that's good, what You're doing that is better, and why Your plans are the right plans. Thank You. We love You. We praise You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And just want to invite you to stand and sing with us.